today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
You are the guy that does this show. You are a known figure. You had people that were clamoring for you.
Mm-hmm.
You, last weekend in Las Vegas, Nevada. People wanted to be... You still act and behave like you're, you know, some schlub that needs
still,
more... You don't need more attention.
I'm still a rube with two B's.
You need attention.
I
need a lot of attention.
Regardless of what's going on, you got to keep an eye out, but this is the best country in the world to live in.
Yeah.
It is right now anyway.
Belgium is nice, too. Netherlands.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Happy Monday. Monday of the holiday week. And down here in FLA, it's a week where my son has the week off, which is interesting.
Ooh. Know,
the whole week. Now, remember when we went to school, we get Thursday and Friday, right?
Right.
And now Loudoun County does Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but he gets the whole week?
I would be more satisfied if he didn't get the week now and we got the week later to come back from the summer.
Yeah,
that's
I agree.
I would prefer.
Build it on.
I would prefer that. But people are traveling, and I guess in the West it's going to be a little problematic with a lot of storms in the Midwest all the way out to the West Coast. So we'll be keeping you updated on that. And we have, speaking of travel, something pretty significant in the world of Oscar Santana, which is stunning to me, really, really stunning to me, that the unrest in Bolivia that's been going on all this week and all
the last
know, for
the last
month
now,
right?
About the last month about really last month. Really took a turn for the worst.
Just for background, Bolivia is a very unstable South American country.
Yes,
and
landlocked.
Excuse
Mike.
Me, I didn't mean
landlocked.
To play that. Landlocked, and there's terrorism involved. There's sedition involved.
It's tough to. I guess I'll put it to you this way. If you watch the latest season of Jack Ryan's Amazon series.
Right.
Which I've just started.
Okay.
Actually.
So I don't want to give anything away, but I feel whoever wrote this series about Jack Ryan in South America, they honestly could have set it up in Bolivia and it would be the same plot. You see what had happened, gentlemen, is there was an election, a general election.
Right.
And the president came out and about 80% into the election somehow cut the power to the municipalities that were counting the election ballots.
These things happen.
Physically
cut the power. And they said, oh, we're going to fix it. This is like a general error. Their PEPCO is down. So.
It's BEPCO.
BEPCO.
Right now we are dealing with a shaky democracy.
Yes.
Right? With an interim government.
Yes.
Isn't
so
that the way it's
that's
going?
What it okay. is. And so BEPCO goes down and about 21 hours later, it boots back up and they're like, oh, wow. It looks like the incumbent president, who was already in his fourth term, has won again. And the some outside entities were saying, hey, before you shut it down, you were losing. And all of a sudden, 21 hours later, after BEPCO shut it down, which you run, you're winning.
Yeah.
Weird. So
this is strange stuff.
It's
this
strange.
Is very,
it's something
is
out
the,
of an Amazon Prime yeah. web series. It really is. And my dad had called me and said, hey, this is about a month ago now. I said, your mom's down here. We're down here. We're not involved in the situation. But I got to tell you, this is in all my years of dictatorships, of military curfews, this is the strangest thing we've ever seen.
And he's never actually run the country, though, right?
No. My dad was a mayor. My dad at one point was a mayor in a...
He's never had office.
In a small town outside of the capital.
Was that before or after he ran the coffee plantation?
No coffee plantation. You're racist.
You see, I just got this checkered past. So, I can't put it together.
For me, I honestly... And this is cynical of me. I was like, oh, it's politics in Latin America.
Right.
There's always unrest. There's always something going on. This is par for the course. And as the weeks went by, my parents don't make a big deal about it, but my brother and sister have been worried, and I was getting family texts and like, hey, mom and dad will probably
come
home early.
Because they're down there while all this is going on. You're talking about massive protests in the streets.
Yes, there's massive protests. The general, the youth, university students... much like you see in Hong Kong, started protesting and saying, you can't just shut down a democracy this way. They're not going to stand for it. And slowly but surely, you saw the vice president resign. You saw the leader of the Senate resign. And then someone finally stepped up to the plate, which was the leader of their house. And she said, I will take on the presidency per the Constitution. And
President Morales finally resigned, right?
Yeah, Morales resigned and seeked asylum in Mexico. He goes to Mexico, the country.
Sought asylum.
I'm just one man.
It's stressful for you.
It is stressful.
He goes to Mexico, the country, as opposed to Mexico, the theme park.
Yes, okay. Yes. Lots of rides.
So he's that unpopular.
So he resigns trying to create a shadow government from Mexico. So right now.
Oh, wow. So yes. He resigns, but he's not,
really.
He's still wielding power from Mexico.
God. Well, as powerful as he was in Bolivia, I'm sure in Mexico, in a shadow government, he's even more powerful.
So, again,
is he wielding power over the lady that's the interim president?
He's
a lady president.
He's stoking what would be a civil war inside the country.
Jeanine Añez.
Yeah, thank you. And as this is building, my dad and mom are trying to get out of the country.
Right.
Good.
And
Lord.
As they're trying to get out of the country.
Why was he there in the first place?
My father?
Yeah.
I don't know. Some say he was visiting some other family. I imagine it's only his family. I'm hoping it's just his relatives. All right.
From now on, the better answer is medical emergency.
No. And my mom went down there for, Mike, her 50th high school anniversary.
Reunion.
Wow.
Reunion, yes.
Wow, she went down for a reunion?
Yes.
She doesn't like to go down there.
She hasn't
right?
been back in 5 years.
Wow.
She went down for a reunion. So.
But they had to know that stuff was going on before they went down there.
As soon as she got there, like I think a week later, the election went down. So
did everybody
so
come
this
to the,
has happened
this
very
prior.
Quickly.
A lot of people at the reunion? Was the guy there that was elected most likely to run a shadow government? The superlative?
Wow. This is terrifying.
It is terrifying. And this is how crazy it is. They took no less than 9 trips to the airport because every time they would go, either the blockade would not let them get to the airport because people were protesting.
Right.
Or there was no fuel in the planes
it's
that
like
were supposed to take off.
Terrifying.
So this isn't like, hey, let's drive out of Bolivia.
Well, you can't.
it's more like, oh, are we going to get out? So finally, on in one of the last-ditch efforts before, I think my brother was trying to coordinate some way for getting someone into the country to get them out.
Oh, wow.
He said that they left early in the morning, like at 2:30 in the morning, for the airport for what would have been like 11 a.m. flight, hoping that there was going to be less protests and less security to get to the airport. They get to the airport, and at 2:30, they're told the plane has arrived, but there's no fuel in the actual airport on the tarmac to refuel the plane to get out. So my dad's like, well, we're not going back to our home
right.
in the valley because they're at the airport, which in the Alto Sewencoma. So they stayed at the airport for almost 24 hours for another plane to arrive that had fuel that they could take out of that plane into the other plane to get the plane to, by the way, not where they were going, Bogota, Colombia, just to go to
one. But at least not a country that's in that situation.
By the way, Bogota in the middle of a military curfew now because they're going through their own ass.
I forgot. But Colombia is also.
They were able to book a nonstop from the frying pan into the fire.
They get to Bogota and then they're there for a day in the airport. They can't even get a hotel to get a flight back finally to the States. So they just arrived yesterday. And
how are they doing?
They're not
young people to deal with this.
That's
stuff.
True.
They were sleepy and they were like in this daze of just happy to be home. And my mom was just saying, she's like, I should have never gone. I should have never left. And my dad's like, I should have never gone. I should have never left. But also in their own like crankiness, they were evoking the spirit and showing me videos of the youth, like Maddie's age and younger,
right?
Of just marching in the streets saying that they want their country back.
So what is the... Are you versed in the politics of the country? Because it seems to me
I was versed yesterday as they told me the entire ordeal.
All right, reviewing this now. Evo Morales, is that the name? Evo Morales.
Yes.
He was the president of the country. He's a socialist, correct?
Yes.
He's a socialist.
Yes.
And the country, he was kind of... forced out of power by
edited the constitution or updated it in a way where he could stay for two more terms. So he was there for four terms.
We call them amendments here. Down there, amendments. They call them edits.
Edits.
Wow.
And then, but then the people said, we're going to go vote. And when they voted, which they thought was going to be a clear, a democratic process.
Right.
When you shut then down,
he, that's when he shut down
the polls. Yes,
because he wanted to stay in power.
He wants to stay in power.
And then because of all the meddling with this election, yes. Sound familiar?
Yes,
he was kicked out.
There was a backlash, and he thought
he thought he could. How does the country feel? How do your parents feel? What do your parents want to see?
The country
happen?
Is happy that the leader of the House actually stepped up to the plate and said, "No, I'm taking the presidency. I'm not going to leave this empty shell of a government, so it could be governed from the outside."
And that's Jeanine Añez,
yes.
Who has taken over. Who in five weeks
says there will be a general election. So she's not going to keep a presidency.
Okay.
She's going to have another general election, and she has really turned the country into a space where the police and the military are now behind her. Instead of Evo, who's in Mexico,
and will she be a candidate when the
she probably won't be because if she wants to
maintain, which kind of would be powerful in and of itself,
which she said that would go against this entire for her to run would not make sense if you're going to have a general election.
What surprised me is when they announced the general election, Michael Bloomberg is running for president of Bolivia, and we wish him well.
How about that pocketbook?
Right?
How about throw a switch and instantaneously, like you're seeing this guy everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. And then, I've always thought that Michael Bloomberg's a pretty competent dude. Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at it. But we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. It's elections, it's turmoil, it's constant. But in South America, it's smaller, it's more concentrated.
At least we can get to the airport and, a flight will go out.
Right. Thank God they're home.
Wow.
My mom's like...
Was she able to bring the Thanksgiving meal with her?
No. And they came back... by the way, when this happens, people, when you have this unrest, there's nothing in the stores. Like, they said they couldn't buy anything. There wasn't bread, there wasn't milk, nothing was coming into the city. And regardless of the political unrest, it was time to go because, people are suffering there.
Yeah.
And...
A lot of people are angry that... Evo has been unceremoniously kicked out of the country.
On both sides, people are angry. Yes.
A lady in this march they're talking to says, "The opposition has cheated us," screamed one woman in the march. "I will always love you, Evo, wherever you are. One of the biggest challenges facing Bolivia's politicians in the coming weeks will be trying to encourage The Moss Party. What is the Moss Party?
Is that the socialist
indigenous
party?
People?
Indigenous,
okay.
Yes.
To accept Evo is no longer in power. So one of the biggest challenges will be to get that party to accept that he's no longer in power. They have to understand that he's gone, says opposition politician Lourdes Melares. They have to find who to replace Evo Morales. And by the way, I'm reading this so I can educate myself on it.
Right.
I appreciate that too, Mike. I'm fascinated by this.
They have to find a way to find who to replace Evo Morales with and recognize that what they have to do now is contribute to peace in the country and consolidation of democracy. As President Añez, that's the interim president, came out on the balcony of the Palacio Quernado, clutching a large Bible in her hand, her team shouted, "Yes, we could." But she has 90 days to hold elections, and many doubt that she can.
We'll find out.
So that's what they left. Yep. Thank God.
Right.
Thank God they are back here. It's going to be it's going to be a true Thanksgiving in the Zeballos household. It's just amazing to me that that I had no. We don't know.
No.
Because we don't pay attention.
That's why I said, regardless of what's going on, you got to keep an eye out. But this is the best country in the world to live in.
Yeah.
It is right now. Anyway.
Belgium is nice, too. The Netherlands.
You know, it's just
this will bring you happiness, Mike.
Yes,
from a different time in politics. That all the best, the podcast that we all worked on here at Podcast Village,
George and Barbara Bush Foundation podcast,
is now a top shows under the government category, and it's right there, front and center, to remind everybody how great this country can be and how great this country can't be, because next to it, it says impeachment. These are all impeachment podcasts all around it.
So yeah, we need that that gentler world.
Yes.
Kinder, gentler. And, you know, George H.W. Bush was a Republican, and every bit of Republican. Don't get me wrong here. But at the same time, a man who conducted himself in such a way that you know, we on the other side, the opposition party, we never processed it that way. It was like all presidents are made fun of, and we have fun with that. And Dana Carvey doing that impression of George H.W. Bush, and then George Bush coming on the show. It was a different time. When presidents are, that's the president. That's the president. We're not in times like we are now. And listen, it's not just Donald Trump that causes this division. This division, and by the way, if you think I'm going to jump on my team's hassle right now, I'm not going to do it. That was the wrong word for it. I'm not going to diss the Democrats. The Donald Trump, it's the minions that are sowing this division. It's the people that are just trying to be like him to gain favor with him right now. And I think that Democrats, Republicans, everybody, we want what they want probably in Bolivia, which is peace and maybe a little prosperity so you can get a leg up. It's all people want. And for, you know, since recorded history, people have been trying to get it. And it's tough because power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I believe that with every fiber of my being. You know, we human beings can be tough. I mean, it was tough. We run a tiny little podcast.
Yes.
Yep. We have a little bit of a democracy here where everybody kind of contributes and we do our own thing and we respect our families and we try to respect each other when we're off air. And the thing about it is it's a tough world out there. And when
it
I
is.
Hear stories it like
is.
That, yes, this is a good country, but we make no mistake that this is a great country that we don't have to work to protect it and preserve it. I am not in any way certain of the future, and that's a really scary thing when you just don't know what the future holds, what could really, really happen. And I think there's complacency because nothing's really hit the fan.
Mm.
And if you think hitting the fan is, what do you mean nothing's hit the fan? What about the impeachment? I'm talking about lines for food hit the fan.
Yeah.
Drafting people because we get into a war hits the fan. Right now, we are being lulled into a sense of, oh, I'm tired of it. We want to look at the casino flashing lights, Rob. That's what
I know. I know we all don't line up politically the same way with him, but I invite you
very conservative
to re-listen
very liberal
to Mike's interview with Bill O'Reilly. And the last question you asked him was one of the most scary things we've ever broadcast on this podcast. When he says that the outcome of the next election could result in violence. And it's, you know what? History bears him out.
Yeah.
It's scary future stuff.
It's a weird time. And I'm reading a book now that I keep talking about called The Invisible Bridge, which is about Hungarian Jews in World War II. And it's just, you know, men can do terrible things. Men and women can do terrible things to their fellow human beings. And it can happen in the blink of an eye. And you know, Bolivia is an example of that. These small, you know, I think it's because they're smaller and it's scary. I'm just happy for your mom and dad. And
yes.
They're home.
We got at the end of the day. We've got our families and hold them tight. So that's a heavy beginning to the show. And I'm really, really happy that they are here and safe and everybody. Yep, the whole fam coming down.
Yeah, the only big loss for my mom was that they couldn't bring that satchel, the extra suitcase full of snacks food. And goodies.
Let me tell you this. There will be in news you may not need today. There is a special story for Mrs. Zeballos and a programming note. Tomorrow on the show, we will be speaking with Oscar's mom.
Yes.
And try to get out of her as best we can what, you know, how she's feeling. I don't want a political thing.
I want to hear about the reunion.
I probably share this now. When we were texting my parents, my brother called me ahead of time and said, look, nothing about politics in your texts. Nothing about anything because in case they got pulled
intercepted,
over.
Yeah.
Their phones. Yeah. It was more like, come home when you're okay. Yeah. Like, that's how crazy this is. Like, if they got pulled over and they were asked to see their phones and there were texts about politics that we just couldn't talk about.
Real quick. I got one of the guys, one of these old guys.
Yeah.
Looks at me and I'm talking about how we used to have a priest come to our family dinners up in Maine. And at one point he looks over at me, he's like, oh, you had like a priest come? You were Catholic? He said, what happened to you? Like, seriously, like because of my politics. Yeah. The bigotry is so all encompassing that
it's crazy.
He's got a graph in his pocket that he can figure you out based on your religion.
Oh, 1,000%. I said,
Jesus.
I looked at him, didn't miss a beat. Yeah. I said, I was a Catholic before they started putting bumper stickers on cars. Yeah. Thank you very much. There you go. We can start the show with that one. There you go.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving? We're doing the show, of course, tomorrow.
I was going to ask you if you got your turkey yet.
Sure.
Do you, truthfully, do you help Mrs. Carson prepare the turkey?
Just like you help Mrs. Severinsen prepare the turkey.
No, there is no Mrs. Severinsen.
Oh, that's right.
There used to be.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
The fact that I never helped her stuff her bird was one of our big problems.
I thought that was your problem. Well, you know, I forgot all about that. We've been together so long that I forget sometimes where we are.
In fact, that was one of the things we really fought about.
What?
Wanted an oyster stuffing in the turkey, and she wanted bread stuffing, and she got bread stuffing and a lot of money.
You mean you used to argue about what you're going to stuff the turkey with?
Yes.
And that was one of the problems.
She's still stuffing the turkey, but not with money.
Well, it's nice to know you have no bitterness. You're not going to celebrate.
I suppose you'll be home with the family having turkey. Just a typical American family.
Look, if you want to, if you really feel badly now, I feel so terrible that you're going to be alone.
I didn't say I was going to be alone.
You just said you ain't going to eat no turkey, right?
That's right.
You can come over there. Would you like to come to the house? And
this is the first time you've ever asked me.
Well, you made me feel so guilty.
I mean, you, when you ask an employee in front of 15 million people, do you want to come to the house for Thanksgiving? What am I going to say? No. You know what I say? I say, yes, Mr. Carson, I love it.
Can you come?
No.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. We are heard all over the place, from Toms River, New Jersey, to Lake Stevens, Washington, Woodstock, Virginia. I didn't know there was a Woodstock, Virginia.
There is. It's down south, they say.
Winterset, Iowa, Amsterdam in the Netherlands, Lahaina, Hawaii. There was a song about that. In Lahaina, done by Loggins and Messina, if I'm not mistaken.
Both
there's
great.
There's some obscure music trivia for you. Our show today brought to you by my good friends at Cornerstone.
Yes.
Listen to some wisdom from Cornerstone. If you want to predict the future, you don't need a magic eight ball. Just rely on solid economic indicators. And right now, economists believe the housing market is entering a golden period. Not necessarily in Bolivia, but it is in the United States. For the first time since World War II, we have mortgage rates below 4%, while at the same time, the unemployment rate is also below 4%. That's a golden period that will stimulate activity, and we expect sub 4% mortgage rates and sub 4% unemployment rates through at least the end of 2020. You don't want to be left out in this golden period.
Golden gold.
I got a golden ticket.
Charlie.
Rates are at record lows. Hello, Charlie. With Cornerstone's offer to meet or beat any competitor, the golden period is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to eliminate your PMI, pay off credit cards, student or car loans, or do home improvements. I am dealing with the people at Cornerstone this very week with my friend Joanna, who's helping me out and making it easy peasy peasy.
Nice lady.
Absolutely.
She was at the live show,
and now I'm dealing with her. And I remember I looked at her and I said, I may be calling you, and I called her. And they helped me with my brain and, tell me what I need to get together.
My brain.
By the way, had a nice little credit report. Thank you very much.
Hey, look at you.
Look at you.
Yeah, I don't want to brag, but I believe the word perfect may have been mentioned.
Wow.
Been a long time since I had that bar. Anyway, if you want to call... Joe Rogers, he's okay too.
I like Joe.
Mark Livingstone, Joe Rogers, blah, Joanna, everybody over there. Call them 202-625-1221 or check the web at cornerstonefirst.com. Cornerstone First Financial, personal attention from application to closing. And we thank you, everybody. So this is the week we're all getting ready. Obviously, some of us have more to be thankful for than others. Oscar Santana with your family eking their way out. That's just terrifying. And did they?
Hey, but it's nothing. Luke Bryan wishing you a happy Thanksgiving.
Sorry.
All right. Okay.
Oscar likes the
there Jesus. We. I know he does. But nothing will. Is it an anti-American sentiment down there at all? Are they talking about stuff?
I can't answer that question definitively. I know that. There's been movies made about the influence, the American influence.
But your folks would probably not be privy to it because they blend in, right?
Yeah, so I'll say this, it's anti, and my dad said it best. My dad is of darker skin. And my dad said, to me last night as we were, attempting to have, what was a rotisserie chicken from Yiant, is not the goat. My mom felt so guilty. She was like, I'm sorry. All I could get, this is rotisserie chicken. I'll cook for you next time you come. And I was like, Mom.
Oh, isn't she a sweetie? I can't wait to talk to that lovely woman.
I was like,
tomorrow.
I said, Mom, look, I'm going to let this pass this time because you just got to know. I know, I swear.
I would have said is, there's nothing wrong with a rotisserie chicken as long as you make some sides.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
She made a salad.
Or you're in the O'Mara household, your wife can go out and bring home shepherd's pie from the... Metro Diner, where she
went. That's really nice.
With her mom and with our son. And I said, I'm sorry, Patriots Cowboys. Bon appetit.
Bye-bye then.
So,
bon appetit.
Long story short, she had run to Giant real quick when she was coming home. We're eating dinner, and my dad said, who I was really worried about is your mom because she really sticks out. She has the skin tone of Mike and Rob, Diablo Blanco, and she didn't, he didn't know if this, like, I like foreigner.
So this indigenous thing,
yes,
in Bolivia is, that's scary. That's really, really scary, because then you get a whole Rwanda vibe out of that, where people that are dark skinned and, you know, and the indigenous people that say, hey, they've been, you know, abusing us for years, which, by the way, is probably true historically.
They haven't had a seat at the table.
That results in anger. God,
yes.
Oh, I just want us all to be the color of a nice cup of coffee and we all live in harmony. My father said it to me a year. I hate to quote him again, but he always said, the only way it'll ever happen is when we all just mix together.
Yeah.
Totally. Although, if you looked at human history, we're all mixed together anyway.
Right.
It's just by degree.
Me told us.
You know? Yeah. I mean, we are. It's just...
But my dad, so to answer your question, is there? I think there's anti-foreigner type of sentiment, but...
Would it be fair to say that no matter where you went, there's anti-something? They're probably anti.
So
they're angry right now. Probably.
So it's not anti-American per se. It's anti. I think for one of the very first times in Bolivian politics, and the way I understand it is, the people don't want a dictator. They've made that very clear that they don't want a dictator in their lives, and they want a democracy. And they could have easily have fallen to Evo and his dictator ways with his election situation going down. And,
they want that.
And the
proud
same,
of those
and,
people.
And the same, well, the same people that elected him in, where it's this younger generation of,
right,
are now have kicked him out.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about a socialist, look, socialism is a model that has been disastrous in certain areas and has worked in other areas successfully, like every political system. Democracy has worked in certain countries, our own being the best example of that, and has not flourished in other situations. You know, it's a very, very delicate balance that we have, and it's just scary because human beings are human beings. And I worry, especially the more you read about it, you know, I want to grab people sometimes by the scruff of the neck down here and say, you know, when you talk about the people that might be frustrated, the indigenous people, the darker people of Latin American countries, whether it be Mexico, whether it be Central America, whether it be South America in particular, which has more of a Spanish influence in South America, you've got this situation where the way people look has for years been the way they're treated. It's done in India. It's done in a lot of other countries. And it frustrates me because we walk around down here, and I'm always excruciatingly aware of the people that work down here in Southwest Florida, the people you hear about crossing the border, the people you hear about, you know, they're all the roofs are being done in 98-degree weather. Not anymore, thank God. But, you know, it's all Latin American crews. And by the way, I just am a believer that, you know, you got to balance stuff out, man, or the worm turns. What goes around comes around.
Mm-hmm.
It does. And if those people that work in the jobs that we Europeans don't want to do, I got news for you. They're not invisible. They're human beings. They are human beings, and they may not speak your language, but they're here in this country, and you know, whether it's coming across the border, I don't know if anybody saw 60 Minutes last night with that Salvadoran woman who lost her husband and I think her 2-year-old daughter crossing the Rio Grande. You know, if you don't think that those chickens will eventually, maybe not in your lifetime, but in your kids' lifetimes, come home to roost, you are sorely, sorely mistaken. And it's a simple principle, no matter who they are, no matter who. If you help your fellow man out, it can only make the situation better. But if you just think that, you know, you're going to be a pissed off, angry white guy that we have around here. And by the way, sorry, I'm letting a little political persuasions into this show, but it pisses me off because one person looked at me yesterday and said, "What do they have to be angry about?" And I'm like, exactly. They have everything done for them other than their asses wiped. And they're pissed off. Why are they pissed off? They're pissed off because they're going to die sooner than younger people. That's the only thing I can figure out. And it's frustrating, man, because I think you gotta lay the groundwork. Everybody just wants
First problem,
wants to-
don't call them they. Just right. that is bad.
Right.
I mean, for God's sake, also, they're people.
Exactly.
If I give some perspective from, I guess, the Latino in the room, I can only speak for all Latinos. This is what it's about. When people are talking about immigration and, you know, what's right and what's wrong and what's appropriate. If the case is made about, and this is my personal feelings, not anybody else's, I can't speak for the room. If the case is made of they are taking our jobs, immigrants, black, white, Hispanic, wherever they're coming from, doesn't matter. They're taking our jobs. If that is the case that you're fighting for, and that is like the, I guess, the hill that you're dying on, tell me which jobs are being taken. Tell me if we're working as hard as they are to get those jobs. Tell me why when I'm at Maryland and I walk into the stats department and every one of, to a man, except for one guy, is from Pakistan or India. Like, tell me, and I'm looking for one of my people, right? Like, and then I walk into my class and I probably was one, if not two of the Latinos in that room in my graduating class. And maybe there was a total of, let's say, 20% minorities. I don't look at it that way. I don't look at it. I just say, let's work hard and let the chips fall where they may. That's all I'm looking at. So if whether you're me, you're black, you're Indian, you're white, whatever it may be, just work hard. And yeah, it won't always go your way. And there's a lot of luck involved and timing and everything else, like everybody else in our lives. But if we work hard, we can always go home and say, I gave it my best shot.
Yeah.
And for the people that have achieved, and I don't care whether you're brown or purple or white, for those people that were, there was a word Oscar used just a second ago, and it's the L word. It's not the L word like the TV show. It's the L word known as luck.
Yeah.
And everybody, no matter how hard they work, has an element of being in the right place and being at Absolutely. The right time and having that luck. And when you accept that, you accept that there is a luck factor, it makes you humble, and humility breeds compassion. And compassion breeds, I think, harmony with fellow men
yeah.
and women. And I really just, that's all I'm asking for. Don't think of people as invisible just because they speak a different language. They want the same things you want. There are, in white America and Hispanic America and black America, there are slackers and a-holes and despicable yes. human beings. Yes. It's across the board. But it's also, you know, by and large, I believe everybody's out kind of for the same thing.
That same disdain, Mike, and I'm thank you for highlighting this, that people have for people, you know, sucking off the teat of what we call the proverbial government. If I see, don't get this wrong, I think Latinos that see that, if I see that, at least, I know I'm like, I am pissed off if someone's taking advantage of the system. Mm-hmm. As a, if I see a fellow a Hispanic, Latino, whatever, doing that, and I know they're doing that, and I'm not just making an assumption, that drives me up the effing wall.
Right.
But it's not just, we're still a minority. The whole right. system is built on a whole, and if you look at those numbers, there's a lot of us, not just us as in Latinos, but whites, blacks, that are on those programs for better or worse. Sure. And some of them don't have a choice. But those that do and are taking advantage of the system across all races, that's the people that are making everyone look bad.
Mm-hmm. And when you live in an area where you don't necessarily have an Hispanic population, and I'll talk about that community in particular, I think you lose perspective. And you think of Latinos as people that are trying to sneak across the border, doing horrible things, and that's an easy stereotype to perpetuate when people in certain areas have absolutely no contact mm-hmm. with the Hispanic community. I'm here to tell you, if the Hispanic community in Southwest Florida decided to go on strike, Southwest Florida would stop. It would cease. Nothing would get done, because I have every day witness the most amazing work ethic. On time, amazing work being done every day, every single day, with joy and happiness, and I mean that, but where you see it all the time, and exhaustion, and heat exhaustion, and sweat, because I live down here, and I see it all the time. And so it's just people are people, man. They really, really are. And, it, you know, I refuse to A, consider these people to be invisible. And I really, really will never do that. I will always appreciate it. I will stop people. I will speak to people. That's it. I'm not doing anything great. I don't need a pat on the back, but I'm interacting with people. It can be a glance. It can be a wave. It can be a thank you. Okay? The word is gracias. All right? For Christ's sake.
And
I want to see it happen. And the same thing when you talk about Bolivia, though.
Yeah.
On the flip side, because there will probably come a day, and if you look at the way populations are going in the United States, there will come a day where the worm will turn and things will be flipped. And I will pray for all the white devils here in the United States that there are people that have compassion and understanding for, you know,
what agreed, America and that comes like. With exposure and education. And for me, what you just said is absolutely true, that it's easy to just say, oh, that's what they're doing, whether they're Hispanic, white, whatever the case may be. And we all have these like unconscious biases over that just say, this is what they're about. I would just say there's at least for the immigrants that I know that are Bolivian, like we all are well aware of the politics in Bolivia. And I think I've actually just, we've joked about it here on air and I have had this serious conversation about it where I have a different perspective about like this country because I know how terrible it can be because of the country I came from. And that the way that we run our country for better or worse is not that. So there's a lot of people that come from those countries, whether it be El Salvador, it'd be Colombia, it would be Mexico, that are here that will never sit down and you'll never have a conversation with them about, hey, like, what do you think about here? They're just happy there isn't a military curfew.
Yeah. And they, you know, as happy as they are about that, they should be aware of it too.
Yes.
That no matter how wonderful and big and bright and shiny the United States of America is, the worm can turn here too. It can happen in the blink of an eye. You never know what can happen. If we haven't had a demonstration of how fragile and how things can change, and you know, it can be scary. And it's just
I think the kids are so they're so disconnected from our past, and we're losing that. We, you know, it hasn't always been perfect here, and in recent history, we've had bad times. We've been through depressions. We've been through world wars. And it's very easy to look forward.
Civil wars.
Yeah. Civil wars even. And that's not that long ago. If you look at
brother against brother. Yeah.
150 years ago is not that long ago in the historical time stream.
Just went through the civil rights movement.
So you got to really communicate to everybody that we're not that far removed from this and appreciate
not
what we have.
Way,
no, but you know, understand it.
Yeah.
You have to understand it. Appreciate what we have, but also value it. And prevent us from going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, because once that that turn happens, and
it's glacial to get it back.
Yeah, because when Oscar talks about a military coup, or when the when it becomes a police state and things like that.
Right.
I you know, from everything I've read, and I read an awful lot, both historical novels, regular history, and it just seems to always give some very bad people the opportunity to do very bad things to their fellow man. And it's tough. And I think anything you can do to help that, and that's just treating your fellow men with dignity, saying thank you. Don't think of people that might have a lower income level than you or a language barrier with you. Don't think of them as invisible. That's it. I know you might say, oh, Mike, you're being all fluffy and lovey. No, I'm just saying don't think of people as invisible.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
My mom and I'll leave you with this as far as
because we do have to break.
Is my mom at the dinner table said, and like you know, they're older, so they get like teary eyed. She said, "I'm just happy that I fought to have you guys naturalized, so we don't have to live in that world."
Yeah, I know.
And she sacrificed a lot.
That's great.
to make sure that we became citizens.
Well, you also came from, you know, an educated father and someone who propped you guys up, and you had the wherewithal to get that done and do it. And so many people do not. And I don't begrudge anybody, whether it's coming across a Rio Grande and, you know, and dying just to make a better life, because the life they came from was controlled by criminals and thugs in their neighborhood.
And cartels.
You know? And cartels. It's just, it, you know, we could go on and on and on, but I just think that everybody's in that same boat. I've always thought that way. I don't think of myself as better than anybody. I don't think of myself as somebody who's superior. I never feel that way. I feel as though no matter how somebody is and what they're suffering from, that you gotta you know, fellow men, you have to lift them up a little bit.
That's be vigilant, you know. When times are bad, when bad people come to power, that's what happens.
Oh God!
So the vigilant. Be vigilant.
Right, I got my eye on you, Pony.
Yeah,
so
Matt.
Thanksgiving.
Bloom.
Hug your family and you know, and do whatever you do to make you feel better. That's that's the key. And I'll tell you something. I've got personal experience with my mom up there who taught me that when you do something for other people, without getting any kind of repayment at all, it doesn't matter who they are, that benefits you. That's like cashing in some chips, some goodness chips. But happy Thanksgiving. That's our little Thanksgiving discussion. We never get this heavy on the Mike O'Berry Show. Hey, you didn't get any laughs out of that, did you, people? How about a crusty laugh?
Pony kept laughing when Oscar was talking about all the stuff going on in Bolivia. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, well, Pony gave me a Matt Bloom wrote in during that segment.
Oh, he did?
And, and said they're just, they're angry because they're not privileged being white as much as they say. Wasn't that the gist of it, Pony?
When you can't get by just on being white anymore, you start getting a little upset when you see that minorities are coming up in the world.
Look at this man.
This is something that happens throughout history. I've seen this kind of thing over and over again.
Yeah, Pony, you know, that's why New Pony
meds.
Will never... That's why Pony will never be fired. we will take a break. That was so mean. We'll come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show.
The Bonus Show.
Oh, no.
A weekly flight into the shadowy world of a show that should not exist. Mike O'Mara.
Good guy.
A forever young loner, except for working with Rob, Oscar, Pony, and a bunch of interns. On a mission to champion the helpless and innocent in a world of podcasters that operate above the law. Hit Turbo Boost at MikeO'MaraShow.com and be Mike's kit. Buy the Bonus Show.
Robert Wood, Mike.
He's a nad. Anyway, welcome
nice.
Back
Happy
to the
Thanksgiving.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, Robert. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Stamps.com. When I talk about Stamps.com, I always wonder who in the world still goes to the post office and why. Stamps.com brings the post office right to you. Anything you can do at the post office, you can do at Stamps.com. And with the holiday rush approaching, Stamps.com lets you steer clear of the holiday hustle. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it. Then hand it to your mail carrier or drop it in a mailbox. It's that simple. With Stamps.com, you can get 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off priority mail. It's no wonder over 700,000 small businesses are already using Stamps.com, just like us, Charlie. Well, it's already a long week.
It is.
Don't spend a minute of your holiday season at the post office. Sign up for Stamps.com instead. And this time of year, there's nothing better
than
Stamps.com. No risk. And with the promo code TMOS, you get a special offer. That includes 4-week trial, free postage, digital scale, no long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in TMOS. That's Stamps.com, enter TMOS, Stamps.com, never go to the post office again. Okay, to get a little palate cleanser right
Please.
Now, I want to give you a, and we're up on a break already, aren't we?
Yeah, pretty much,
right?
Yeah.
Jeez, okay. Quickie right here.
Because Oscar's a blabbermouth.
We're sitting on the, well, that was mostly me blabbering, but we're sitting on the patio, the lanai, the porch, the concrete, where the outdoor chairs are.
Yeah.
There we
go. Doing some slab sitting.
And I hear a, I hear a squirrel in the tree in back of our yard, in the back of our house, going. And they make these like
clicky noises.
Like he's upset. He's like, and I look down, and the and Frankie, the Chihuahua, is just staring at him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the sun is going down. And at one point, there are two thoughts that I had here. At one point, you just get the squirrel in profile.
Yes.
And never, ever have I become more aware that a squirrel is really a rat.
Rat with a fuzzy tail. Truly, that's it.
It's rat. You get the side profile,
yeah.
And that is pure rodent. Mm-hmm. That is pure. And you don't think of squirrels that
As
way.
As a rule,
lot, you know?
Are you a fan of squirrels?
I can take them or leave them.
Not a fan.
Not a fan of squirrels.
I like the ballsy squirrels. And not the squirrels that are walking
around. By the way, they're playing at Gabe's this weekend. No cover charge.
With acorns in their mouths.
The ballsy squirrels.
The ones that run up to people's porches and like eat the bird seed and say hello to the owners.
We had a couple ballsy squirrels that would destroy our jack-o'-lanterns.
See?
Yeah.
I think I can best A-holes. Answer that, whether I like squirrels or not. I am a true fan of the bungee squirreling. I think that is pure fun.
Mike.
When you say, because it doesn't hurt the squirrel and the
says?
Squirrels run off.
Who
it doesn't, they run off. I don't think they get hurt that badly.
Oh, so, they're certainly relocated.
Real quickie, Frankie, this squirrel's going. Yeah. And I'm like, I said, what is it? And the tail's doing that tink, 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 that little twitch. And he's looking at Frankie. And this standoff becomes fascinating. Stops the conversation out on the patio. We're looking at this. Look at this.
You know, they're this in a similar really, weight class.
Yes, they're in a similar weight class because Frankie looks the size of a squirrel.
Right.
So suddenly the squirrel darts off and runs up inside the tree. Now the tree is right in back of the screened-in porch that we have.
Mm.
And Lanai's down here, for those of you that are not Floridians, the porch, they're all screened in.
Yes.
They're screened in and they cover so you don't get the bugs eating you.
Right.
And all of a sudden you hear this, and I look up, and the squirrel...
What?
Is directly over Frankie, splayed out on top of the screen, looking straight down at Frankie.
Like attack mode.
Basically,
like attack mode.
Teabagging him.
And then
oh, dear.
The reason this story comes to fruition here on the show, then, without any hesitation at all, the squirrel urinates down onto the lanai.
What?
You actually see squirrel pee. Yellow squirrel pee. That comes down and almost lands on Frankie.
Oh my God.
One never thinks of a squirrel urinating.
And my wife says, I think he just peed on Frankie. I'm like, and I look up and there it is. There it is, the little drop where it's coming through the screen.
He showed Frankie
and then of course,
what?
Domination.
Yep.
And then he's off. It's like, I'll show you.
Yeah.
And he runs off. And of course, what does Frankie do? He sniffs it.
Of course.
That's what dogs do. That's what they do. The fouler, the nastier. God, I hate that.
It's
just one
thing
I hate about dogs. I hate about dogs.
They sniff.
Everything.
But after seeing
the pee. Who peed here? Who pooped here? Who peed here? Who pooped here?
After seeing the pee, was the squirrel properly hydrated?
No.
Okay.
The answer would be no.
Okay.
No. The squirrel could have used a liquid IV or two. Absolutely. We'll take a break, and when we come back, more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show. Okay. Listen up. O'Reilly here, and you're there, and you want to get in touch with TMOS. You don't know how. You're out of touch, right? Lazy, uninformed, not good people. Well, who's looking out for you? I am. I'm here at The Factor, and we can hook you up. You can always email the show at rob@mikeomarishow.com. That's Rob, two B's, big head, not a good guy. Or P.O. Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. Mail something like a letter or a parcel or a citizenship inquiry for Oscar. He's not from around here. We keep an eye on that one. And be sure to keep an eye out for my new book, Killing Mike O'Mara. Yeah, the plot involves $1 margaritas and a kid named Pony. He's very thin, nervous guy. The Mike O'Mara Show, always available and always looking out for you. This is Bill O'Reilly, and I hate everything. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Third Love. If you need a bra, look no further than Third Love. You will get a perfect fit guaranteed thanks to Third Love and their Fit Finder quiz. Just answer a few simple questions online and you'll find your perfect fit in 60 seconds. Plus, more sizes than most other brands, including their signature half cup sizes. And you can try it on at home. Third Love bras feature lightweight, super thin memory foam cups. They actually mold to your shape. Also, straps that don't slip and tagless labels mean no itching.
No itching.
Plus, the perfect fit promise. If after 60 days you don't love it, return it, and Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Third Love supports charities in their local San Francisco Bay Area. We love them for that. And they do it across the United States. So, for Third Love, they have donated so far $15 million in bras. Carla loves hers. You're going to love your Third Love bra. Third Love knows that there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering our listeners 15% off their first order. Go to thirdlove.com/TMOS right now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/TMOS for 15% off today. All right, Rob Spiewak, it's the holidays. Retail is starting to get all ramped up right
now. It is.
Now.
Oh,
yeah.
And you came into the show today saying Rube, that you're a Rube and everybody else is Rube.
And I can't
that usually
believe
means something shopping.
It's not shopping. And I can't believe they got me on this.
But
this
yet.
This is a mixture of vanity and FOMO, fear of missing out.
Okay.
The big thing that was going on like Thursday and Friday was end of the year, post a picture of yourself from today and a picture of yourself from 2009.
Yeah.
See how you've changed in 10 years.
You it did starts, it.
And I did it.
I saw it.
I did it. And you know
you
what?
Did it.
Rube.
Yeah.
They went right to your E.
And the thing is, the ego thing is, yeah, but also it's the fear of missing out. You want to be a part of something that's happening. And then I look at it and, you know, you get some nice comments and it's horrible because I'm about 1,000 pounds heavier and grayer and, you know, still.
You didn't write that within your post.
I did.
Post.
I said fatter and grayer and still laughing and eyes still shut. But Saturday afternoon, someone writes, "Hope you guys are having a good time with that." It's like everyone at the FBI is saying, "How are we going to, you know, follow facial technology and aging technology on everybody and keep track of everyone in our master secret file?"
Wow, yeah.
And it's like, no, you don't need to do it. Facebook will do it for you because everyone has a big effing ego and they don't want to miss out. And I can't believe I fell for this the same way I fell for that aging thing.
Yes.
About 6 months ago, mm-hmm. where it was the I guess it was more, that was more of a Instagram thing.
Yes.
Where you
but
could go through a filter.
Don't you realize that you same are company. A public figure and you need to accept at some point that you are Rob Spiewak.
Yes.
The man. You are the guy that does this show. You are a known figure. You had people that were clamoring for you.
Mm-hmm.
You last weekend in Las Vegas, Nevada. People wanted to be, you still act and behave like you're, you know, some schlub
I'm
that needs
still,
more. You
Mike,
don't need more attention.
I'm still a Rube with two B's. I just
you need attention.
I
you
do.
Need a lot of attention. You're that lonely boy in God. Front of the TV. You need too much attention.
It doesn't ever go away. But what makes me mad, I can accept the fact that that is the flaw, one of the flaws in my wiring. But I was tricked. And America, you were tricked too. You're giving your information away.
I saw
away.
A lot less people doing it.
I saw a lot
year.
Of people doing it. A lot
maybe
of people.
Right, here's what
maybe
you need
it's your
to do.
Mob contingent.
I know you're not going to get it from your son because he's off at that age doing his own
right,
thing.
Right.
And your daughter's away at school.
That's home tomorrow, though, which is
and
exciting.
And your wife is dancing to her own drummer. And so
yes.
you need to get involved in something in your local area where you are, and I'm not talking, I have no idea what it is, but my
like
advice
Rotary
to you
Club.
Would be like a Rotary, some club, Moose Lodge.
Yeah, I'm down, like, at you know, down at the Moose at the Oddfellows
as
Temple.
As much as I am different from these men down here,
yes,
they are my golf, the golf thing is the bond. That's it.
Yeah, and you
the
have
golf
that.
Golf is the bond. That's my thing.
What about a Freemason?
That. What about it? You
can
know,
you,
my
you become one?
My grandfather was a Mason.
Oh, then you've got a legacy.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they got a legacy.
You guys do the Tuscarora High School announcing, but that's on and gone.
Yeah,
and
it's
you
not
don't
many
have to
games.
Interact with anybody.
What about volleyball? Mm-hmm.
And that's all about you again.
Mm-hmm.
You say what you need to do is put yourself in a social situation where no one gives a rat's ass that you're Rob Spiewak.
I agree.
Ooh.
Have you ever done that in your life?
Yeah. I mean, actually, in a way, the supper club is that way. The couples we get together.
Yeah, but you're friends.
Yeah, but we're friends, but that's still a social situation.
But they like that you are Rob Spiewak.
They don't care about that.
Yeah, it is. It's not en masse, though. It's not like a group.
What about a Civil War reenactment?
But which side would I be on?
You have to choose.
I think that you are more of a loner. You are more of a loner than any of us. I think you are more of a loner. Mm-hmm. I think you live your own thing, and I think that's then you wouldn't go to Facebook for it, because Facebook, it's not going to give you the satisfaction.
Facebook is? Facebook is interacting with people on your own terms, and it's not healthy. Because it's not really interacting. It's like an excuse.
It's not interacting.
No,
it's
you're
not.
Right.
I use it to like preach.
Yes.
And, yeah. You know, I try to do that. That's what I just like to make.
But when all is said and done,
bold statements.
I feel so stupid that I got sucked in.
Well, what did they do to you?
What are they going
to
steal? They're
really
your record
Do you
collection?
Know for a fact that they're going to really like use your images to, you know, control the world like Big Brother is?
All I know is that I woke up this morning and my house was surrounded and my car was gone. That's all I know.
And my butt was bleeding.
Ow!
There you go.
But that would happen before I posted on Facebook.
But your kids are coming home for Thanksgiving, or you went once home already?
No, Julia, Robert is, of course, living at home. Julia gets home tomorrow evening and I can't wait. It's very,
Catherine
very exciting.
My oldest will be joining me.
My sister and her fam from L.A. land today at 2:30.
In Dulles or National?
No, a BWI.
That's a great airport.
And I said,
Thurgood Marshall International.
What time? Mm-hmm. She said, 5:30. I said, I'll still be at work. Talk to mom and dad. And she said, what do you mean? I said, I don't know if they're going to want to roll in rush hour. Probably the Uber XL, because she's got five kids, is going to get you back. She goes, okay.
Thank you, Kathy.
Do you want to hear the ultimate?
You my sister? Yes, you are.
The ultimate and gutsy request. You know, I've not mentioned this because she asked me not to, but for the sake of the story, I'll have to mention that Caleb and Julia have broken up, which is no surprise to anybody because they're both at different colleges, right? However,
there you go, Julia.
Caleb has the guts to say, hey, would it be cool if you came and picked me up at the airport at BWI on Wednesday night?
What?
And I said, Julia, you have got to be kidding me. You couldn't design a worse car ride than going to Baltimore, Washington International
Caleb
Airport.
Caleb asked Julia?
Yes.
Oh, don't do it.
Dead to
no.
me.
No.
Dead to
no.
me.
No, no.
Dead to
no.
me.
No, no.
Is Dead
she doing
me.
It?
No.
Oh, good.
No.
Good.
No. But
Can
anyway.
Can you imagine the
ballsy
little
kid.
Ass?
Ballsy kid. I thought it was ballsy when he used to walk. What?
That Julia. I just love that Julia.
Yeah.
You know, I just have my own impressions.
Yeah, she said no.
That's got to be done. That's a normal high school break.
You got to cut ties.
I hope she's doing well with it. My daughters went through similar things, and you know what? Part of the world.
I thought Caleb was ballsy when he used to go into my pantry without asking. But asking my daughter to pick him up at the airport on Wednesday night?
No.
No. You know what? No. How about your parents? Don't they do anything?
So long, nice. Pope Benedict's shoes. All right. See you later.
Anyway, we wish him well.
That's me.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Very well. Yeah. Roll out to the airport on Wednesday night. Come on.
BWI. Anyway,
we'll take a break. BWI. News you may not need. Part of Rob's family. Why does that bring me
joy? Well, because she's a friend of ours, and he's a foe.
I just think it's like Julia making the right moves.
Because
all the time.
She's awesome. That's why.
Yes, she is awesome. Yeah. We'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's your boy Paulie again. Now I heard some of you P1s don't have Alexa, but you do have Google Home. Well, guess what? The Mike O'Mara Show is also on Google Home. Check it out. Hey, Google, play the Mike O'Mara Show podcast.
Google.
Okay, resuming podcasts. The Mike O'Mara Show, number 2208, full course meal.
Mike O'Mara, radio entertainment. Today's episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our...
That's un-friggin-believable, eh? Take it back, Mike.
Thanks, Paulie. And hey, Paulie, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. And I look forward, hopefully, to seeing some good... food pictures around the holidays.
I imagine he'll start posting the shopping pictures like today.
Oh,
because he's got to get to the pork store.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show of the pork store.
Satriali's.
Isn't that the one in The Soprano?
Yeah, I think they're all the same. I think it's a chain.
The pork store. With the pig on top.
Exactly.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. And now I have to read your bonus package.
Oh, you'll like this. It's a good one today.
Let's see. Today is Monday.
Hey, what?
It is Monday.
Today is Monday. Are you excited? Thanksgiving is soon. Oh, for the pies and the yams and the turkey. Hey, wait. Have you started thawing your bird yet? You better start or you will run out of time. This is sage advice that will prevent a foul mood. Yes, I know they're Thanksgiving puns. But if you really want to thaw your turkey super quick, just expose it to the red-hot comedy of the TMOS bonus show. The jokes fly fast and furious and will result in a juicy bird with a crisp brown skin, just like many of Mike's female neighbors. It's a commercial-free, no-holds-barred sixth episode of TMOS. It features Mike, Oscar, Rob, Maddie, and Donna Reed.
Oh!
I'm sorry, I mean Pony.
Yes.
Just click the banner on our website and you'll get access to all the good stuff. Makes a wonderful holiday gift. I mean it. The TMOS bonus show brought to you by Barney Miller. Don't miss this week's episode in which Detective Nick Yamana, Jack Sue, makes a bet with Detective Stanley Wojciechowicz, Max Gale, and accidentally gets Barney Hal Linden into a lot of hot water. Barney Miller on ABC this Thursday at 9, right after Benson. ABC is the American Broadcasting Company. Number one, alphabetically.
That's
Thank
right.
You. Thank you. Dissing Barney Miller there. Hey, let's do this.
News. Hal Linden was a stage actor,
News.
Mike.
Yes, he was. Yes, terrific. Hey, I'm Hal Linden. Oxford Dictionary has announced their word of the year. It's two words.
Oh.
Climate emergency. That's their words of the year. Their definition is, quote, a situation in which urgent action is required to reduce or halt climate change and avoid potentially irreversible environmental damage resulting from it. They picked that term because they say it captures the, quote, ethos, mood, or preoccupations of the year. Plus, its usage went up to 10.796% from 2018. Or did it go up 10,796? It went up 10,796% from 2018. And all their potential words of the year were related to climate change. The runners-up are climate crisis, climate action, extinction, and eco-anxiety. So that's
you know what would have been a better word or a series of words is okay, boomer. See, I like that.
Okay, boomer. Oscar, I said I'd mentioned this before.
Yes.
The TSA just put out a list of travel tips for Thanksgiving, including foods you can and can't carry on an airplane. So let me take a look at this here.
Yum.
All right, here we go. If you're planning to fly with leftovers, the basic rule to remember is any solid foods are okay, but anything liquidy has to go in your checked luggage. Some foods you are allowed to carry on a plane include pies, cakes, stuffing, rolls, vegetables, casseroles. They're all considered solid foods. And yes, turkey is also fine.
Mm-hmm.
Even a full uncarved Thanksgiving bird is acceptable.
See?
Frozen turkeys are okay too. Some foods you can't carry on the plane include gravy,
yes,
cranberry sauce, wine, eggnog, and any sort of jam or jelly.
You know what? I would think if you brought a frozen turkey on the plane, you'd have to watch out for
secret.
Yeah. Good black bag.
Oh, rabbit?
A hefty. Yeah.
Sure.
Biff will hate that. Why's my tennis racket sticky?
Smells like turkey.
And no mashed taters either. You can't bring those.
My mom.
Well, whoever has any leftover mashed potatoes, everybody eats those.
She had her canned peaches thrown away, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Canned peaches, yum, yum.
I think pie would be dicey. That's kind of liquidy on the inside, yeah.
Well, if it's a good pie.
Great pie.
My dad liked his pie liquidy. I didn't. I like my pie gelatinous.
Yeah, super.
A new study looked at how smart people are in different states. Okay.
Oh.
Listen up.
Yes.
See if we get your state on here.
Smart.
They went through high school and college graduation rates and average SAT and ACT scores. Whether that's a true measure of intelligence is debatable, but according to the study, the smartest state in the United States. Hold on a second. I got papers up
here
my
boss.
Here we go. The smartest state in the United States is, God damn it, Michael. New Jersey.
Hey, that's where the pork store is.
What? New Jersey. And would you like to know the dumbest state?
Sure.
Idaho.
Aww.
They put the duh in Idaho. Yeah.
That's too
New
bad.
New Jersey just edged out.
It is
out.
Too bad.
But here's what's weird. It's close to Utah, which was just edged out by Jersey for first place.
Oh.
The 10 smartest states are New Jersey, Utah, Massachusetts, North Carolina, Montana, Virginia,
yeah!
Kansas, Wisconsin, Oregon, and Minnesota.
Wow. You go to Wisconsin to hunt. You don't gamble, you hunt in Wisconsin.
Idaho came in last, followed by Oklahoma, New Mexico, Arizona, Louisiana, Alaska, Hawaii, Mississippi. Always, there isn't a crap list in the world that Mississippi does not wedge its way onto.
That's true.
Ohio and Kentucky.
Ah, yes.
Neighbors. Yeah.
The bourbon.
Minnesota, by the way, has the highest average SAT score at 1284. That's fantastic.
Damn.
I don't think that the SAT is a good indicator, though, because it's a pay-for test. So it's going to eliminate lower-income people.
Yeah, let me ask you this.
Yes.
No, what do you mean pay-for test?
You have to pay for it.
Yeah, but you can take the SAT in high school.
You have to pay for it.
Yeah, but there are programs that let people take it if they just want to take it.
What about the ACT, Rob? I don't know anything
about the ACT. I think that comes after my days of school.
No, but the SATs.
That's my
If you look back at your friends that got high SAT scores, at least I can speak for myself, they're all doing well.
Yeah, it helps. The highest ACT score is Connecticut.
Oh, there you go, Mike.
With a score of 25.6, but I didn't take that one.
No, I don't think it existed when we're kids. I think
ACT was more on the West Coast.
I don't know what it is. I don't even know.
Rats on the West Side.
It's like the SAT.
I don't remember it. We had the SATs.
Mm-hmm.
I did badly. Anyway,
look at you, Mike. Doing well.
Yeah, well, I did. I was over 1,000, but that's about it. You know, I mean, 540 verbal, 490 math.
Look at you.
I still remember it. A Chicago woman is more than halfway to her goal of breaking a Guinness World Record by hula hooping for 100 hours. Jenny Dawn is live streaming her world record attempt as she attempts to keep a hula hoop moving around her body for 100 hours with 5-minute breaks allowed for rest and bathroom breaks. Now, see, if you want me to watch that live stream, no bathroom breaks.
No.
You got to go.
As a matter of fact, it would kind of look like a spirograph.
Doan said, by the way, Doan's pills. Doan said the overnights are the most difficult part of the challenge, having to keep focus with only sporadic company. It's been a roller coaster, she said. It's been good. It's been tiring. Doan needs to surpass 74 hours, 54 minutes to break the current record, but she is aiming for 100 hours. The record attempt is raising funds for Mental Health America.
Right. I tried hula hooping once. I got stuck in it. Little help here.
A survey asked people. Let me start again.
Yep.
A new survey asked people which they'd prefer, their favorite team winning the Super Bowl or their favorite candidate winning the 2020 presidential election.
Oh, damn.
Da-da, da-da,
you don't even need to finish it.
28% of men and 11% of women went with the Super Bowl. That's right. Nearly 30% of people want their team to win. 64% of men and 84% of women went with their presidential candidate. Thank you. And the rest, these are the people that I think you really need to value in our country. The rest couldn't decide.
If you're a Bills fan, you can understand.
Yeah, did anyone in the survey own a tavern?
Only Oscar could find the silver lining there. If you're a Bills fan. I'd love to break it out to Buffalo and see what happens. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's the way I feel.
Making America great again.
And now a little something. Back on the 29th of last month, two drivers in Largo, Florida, got into a road rage argument. One of them was a 61-year-old guy named David Whipperman. The other is a woman whose name hasn't been released. It's not clear what caused their argument, but at some point, Whipperman got out of his truck and walked up to the woman's car. So she rolled down her window, and she apologized.
That's nice.
That's
right?
What you do in a road rage thing. And David responded by spitting the food he was chewing into her mouth.
Oh!
The cops investigated what happened, and David Whipperman was arrested last week for felony battery. He looks angry. There's no word on what type of food he spat into the woman's mouth. I'm going to say hate chips, the new snack food for angry white men. Try new Lay's hate chips. There's hate in every bite. There you go. They can spit it in the mouth of somebody you're yelling at. There you go. Hate chips from Lay's. Utz hate chips. I'm not sure what company. I was trying to find the funniest. Utz hate chips. We'll take a break and come back with the audio vault right here. And then tomorrow, maybe we'll get to Nostalgia Corner, which maybe, we didn't get to today.
Maybe it's a good one. You're going to love it. It's a movie we've disagreed on in the past.
We're going to be so busy. We are going to be so busy,
busy
tomorrow.
Busy.
We will take a break and come back with the audio vault and Rob Spiewak right here.
Love this.
Hey, how's it going, my TMOS friends? This is your boy, Tomo. You probably haven't heard from me.
You come on the show more up and I'll play your promo more
often. Very good.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Yay for Zappos!
Yay, Zappos!
We've never worked with a better bunch of folks, and that's the truth, Ruth. Our buddy Derek and the Zappos family are the best, and that's why we're so pleased to continue our partnership with them as they celebrate their 20th birthday. 20 years of the absolute best customer service and a selection that is unmatched. Thanks to over 1,000 trusted brand names, Zappos.com is able to help millions of customers create a long-lasting wardrobe that they love. And with the holidays approaching, there's never been a better time to shop Zappos. So, whether it's footwear, outerwear, anywhere. Basically, if you wear it, get it at Zappos. We just ask that you support us both by accessing Zappos through our website. Just click the banner. As always, Zappos.com provides fast free shipping, free and easy returns, 24/7 friendly customer service, and a 365-day return policy. Hey, do your holiday shopping at Zappos.
Yeah.
Get that special thing for that special thing.
Do it.
Thank you, Zappos. You make us look good. Let's open up the audio vault for today. This is Monday, November 25th. We are getting close to the big day. Ooh.
Now, Mike, I feel it is my duty to bring you the bad parody records that the holiday season rolls around. I'll try to limit it to one a day.
My ordinance in place.
Please do. This one celebrates when the family meets together for Thanksgiving. Sometimes there's arguments.
Family fight. Dad's always right.
Here's where that one went wrong. You can't use Silent Night for a Thanksgiving parody.
Nope, you can't.
You can't.
And by the way, the overdone audio of the arguing at the beginning, that's fake arguing.
Of course.
Because it sounds happy. I know you might think that I'm wrong about that, but I've done a lot of these things. And when you hear that real, you know what's funny? Real arguing.
Real.
That's really funny.
Real.
Like a hidden microphone, not the, you're just such a bad guy with the bad actress.
I disagree with you politically.
Right. Exactly.
All right. I've had the occasional pedicure. I do it as a courtesy to others because I wear a lot of open-toed shoes. Mike, I know you've had a pedicure before.
Yes, I
have. And sometimes you wonder when you go into a nail salon how the hygiene is because, you know, those are feet that are using the same tub.
Yeah.
This one's
sort of... You want to play the song that they play, not the song, but the sound that plays when you go into your manicurist,
please
pedicurist?
Please do. Yes, exactly. They call in the reserves. This is in High Point, North Carolina. This is probably a nail salon that I would not return to because while the lady was getting her nails done, they started butchering deer meat.
I was sitting and getting my nails done and looked over and they were pulling out deer meat from a cooler and started cutting it without gloves on a tarp on the floor of the nail salon. It really made me worried about the sanitation of the salon.
Yeah, it made her worry.
That should.
I tipped my hand when I was playing my sound effects of your...
Of my manicure?
Your pedicure, rather. This is Rob's pedicure.
Yeah.
Let's cut that deer meat now.
The weird thing is the sparks.
That's almost done here, Mr. Spiewak.
Thank you. You would think if you're in Rochester, New York, and you want to rob someone, you'd be pretty safe if you robbed an 82-year-old woman.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Pretty easy target.
Yeah, unless she's spry.
Yeah, well, what you didn't know is that she's a female bodybuilder.
Oh, no.
And she's going to kick your ass. beat you with a table leg, and pour shampoo in your eyes. So, advantage lady.
He picked the wrong house to break into. I took that table, and I went to working on him. The table broke, and it had metal legs, and I'm jugging him. And when he's down, I'm jumping on him. There's a bottle of baby shampoo on the table in his face, all of it, the whole thing. The police arrive on the porch. He's laying down already because I had really did a number on that man. I'm serious.
And remember what they say, no more tears. That lady's badass.
Great.
Wow.
Here's one for our buddy Jimmy Cerrito. Ozzy Osbourne has a new record out. He's doing a collaboration with Slash from Guns N' Roses, and it goes like this. This is Ozzy's new record. You know, that Thanksgiving record's not so bad after all. Glad to know that Ozzy is exploring new musical sounds.
That's a rough one.
How'd they
right
get
there.
Him to say that?
Straight to hell?
Yeah, just clearly for once.
But it still has that, Ozzy can't find the note.
Poor guy.
Oh, I think it's
okay. By the
okay.
way, that's his whole thing. But, Mama, I'm coming home.
I'll find it. And right. We close the Audio Vault, Mike, with a salute to the TMOS dog of the day. His video is on our Facebook page. His name is Crowley. His owner had just finished paving his entire driveway with concrete.
Mm.
Beautifully smoothed out. And Crowley runs through it. And the frustration and the sound of the owner, because he tries to stop him. And it's not like Crowley just runs across. He runs the length of the driveway. Big dog Crowley, lots of footprints in the driveway. Oh, God. So
Crowley.
Crowley. Check out our Facebook page.
Can't wait.
And he's the good dog of the day on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yay.
That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
That's it. We got to get out of here. Tomorrow, we will definitely get to Rob's Nostalgia Corner on the show. Whoa. And lots more fun and more thrills as we prepare for the big Thanksgiving holiday, including the busiest travel day of the year and the biggest shopping day of the
year. Black Friday.
We'll take a break. Until then, we'll see you tomorrow. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan, wishing you a happy Thanksgiving.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I'm afraid we have a bad image, sir. Market research shows people see you as something of an ogre.
To club them and eat their bones.
Come on, Charlie. Let's get out of here. I'm going to eat with him, and it's the last thing I ever do. Slugworth wants a gobstopper. He'll get one.
And please remember, everybody, don't get happy.